Well, good morning. Or is it afternoon? Or is it evening? What time is it? I have 7:05. How did your day begin this morning? How did it end? It's not ended yet. It's almost ended, but we're not quite there. Every day is full of beginnings and endings. We start our day, we brew a cup of coffee, and maybe we brew another couple cups of coffee before the end of the day. We measure the sun's rising as the beginning of the day and the moon's going down as it's ending. We start at the beginning of a book, or maybe you start at the end and go backwards. We conclude with the end of a book. We attend baby showers and funerals. We celebrate New Year's and the beginnings of seasons. We set our calendars and appointments for events in the future. We plan all the time, counting on the certainty of time and that it will continue to move on. We live our lives through time. We are timed people. We spend our time in many different ways, but we are always conscious of what time it is. We've seen several different attributes of God over the last couple of weeks that show what God is like, how he operates. We've heard of his impassibility, of his immutability. He's never changing, of his independence. He doesn't need us. Tonight we're going to look at a new attribute of God, something we haven't seen just yet. This is God's eternality. God is eternal. This is an amazing thing that is very difficult for us to wrap our heads around because we exist completely within time. Everything that we do is part of time. God is different. It's impossible for us to wrap our minds around someone who never had a beginning and who will never have an ending. But that's what we're tasked to do tonight. God's attribute of eternality defies everything that we've ever experienced. We don't understand what it means to live without time. But that attribute of eternality is a great comfort to us. God provides to us great comfort and encouragement through the fact that he is eternal, that he never had a beginning and he never will have an ending. We've been going through different characteristics of God through Wayne Grudem's systematic theology. He defines eternality this way. God has no beginning, end, or succession of moments in his own being, and he sees all time equally vividly. Yet God sees events in time, and he acts in time. God's eternity is amazing, and those words there give us some breakdown of how God is eternal, what that means for us, how we relate to that as created beings who live in time. The first thing that God is timeless. God is timeless. God lives without time. This is hard for us to understand, but it has to be this way because God made time. God made the sun. He made the stars. He made the moon. He gave them to us to measure the seasons, to measure the passing of time, the beginning of days, the beginning of years. He gave us time as a gift. All of us have time to spend. All of us have years to spend. Many we've spent already and many to spend in the future, we hope. God made time for us, not for himself. It's something that he made as part of creation. And therefore, because he made time, he must not be in time. He must not be part of time. And it's interesting. If we look at the beginning of the scripture, God shows us how time is completely different from himself, how he operates outside of it. If we look at the beginning of scripture, God is in the beginning. The very first words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created. God was already there. We don't have a recorded beginning for God. God had no beginning. And all the way to the end, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, we see that the people of God will live in the new heavens and the new earth forever. They will need no light of the lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. They will reign forever and ever with God. God will be with us forever and ever. Rather, we will be with God forever and ever. God is always there, has always been there. He will always be there. He made time. He made us to live in time. But interestingly, because he made time, it is impossible for him to be bound by time. God is not in control or is not controlled by time. He is outside of it and he governs it. He controls it. Where do we see this? Where does God tell us that he is outside of time, that he lives outside of the context of time? We read that when he met with Moses. When he met with Moses at the burning bush, what did God say? Did he say, I was who I was, or I will be who I will be? He said, I am who I am. I am always present. I am always living in a continual presence. I am who I am. God revealed himself to Moses this way. He chose to show Moses as his special name that he is eternal, that he never was born, that he will never die, that he has always been, he always is, and he always will be. This is very difficult for us to understand. How we understand that God has always been, that he never will cease to be. We think about it like this. I was reading an example of this earlier this week. You think about this. How does God hear our prayers? We know that God hears our prayers. We know that when we pray, he hears our prayers. One writer mentioned that as we think about this, we pray to God. Millions and millions of people around the world, all praying to God at the same time. How is it possible that God listens to every single person praying to him at the exact same time? We have it all backwards. God doesn't listen to us in time because God is outside of time. God hears all of us all the time. Anytime we pray to him, he is listening to us, and he's not encumbered by listening to other people at the same time. He doesn't have a schedule to keep to make sure he answers all the prayers and hears all of our prayers and all of our supplications to him. He listens without time. We put him in the box of time sometimes. We think about how is God going to respond to me in time? Am I going to be able to get what I need in time? God doesn't operate that way. God operates outside of time. He is not bound by time because he's completely different from us, because he doesn't exist in time. We should be giving him praise and thanks that he exists outside of our time. He does not work on our timetable. He is outside of that timetable. 2 Peter 3 says that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. This doesn't mean that God spends his days, and those days are equal to 1,000 years that we experience. This is a picture that shows God is outside of that context. He doesn't operate with the same kind of understanding of time that we do. He is completely different from us. He is completely outside of time. We must treat God as though he is not like us. He is not like us in our timetable. We get desperate. We get nervous if things are going to happen in the time that they need to. God's not concerned with that. God doesn't operate in that schedule. God will take care of things in the way that he chooses to, in the time that he chooses to. But at the same time, God has given us time, making us timed people living in a period of time. He has given us time to spend. How are we spending our time? It's not unlimited. The time that we have on this earth is limited by the fall, the fact that we will die one day. How we choose to spend our time matters. How we choose to spend our time demonstrates the kind of God that we worship. Do we worship a God who is worth our time, worth us spending time to serve him, worth spending time to pray and to honor him and to share him with others? God is timeless. He doesn't operate in time as we do. But secondly, God sees time equally. So at the same time, he doesn't operate in time. He's not part of time. He is outside of it. But he sees all of it at the same time. All of time is open to him from the very beginning. And we see this in a very interesting phrase in the book of Isaiah, where God knows the end from the beginning. It's a very interesting statement that he gives us in the book of Isaiah. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done." Declaring the end from the beginning. This is a characteristic that makes God different from everybody else. When we see this in this part of Isaiah, God is comparing himself to the idols of the people and showing the people of Israel that I am not like these idols. I am not like these wicked things that you worship. I am different. Can you tell me the beginning? Can you tell me what it was like at the beginning? What happened at the beginning? Can you tell me what the ending is going to be? Can you tell me why these things are happening? Can you tell ancient things from ancient times, things that haven't even come to pass? Nobody can do that. Only God can do that. God sees all time equally. This is proof that God is different from us, that God is greater than us, that God is God, that God is divine. He uses that in Isaiah 46 to show that, and we can understand that as well. God knows all things that have happened. He sees all things that have happened, but he doesn't experience them in time like we do. I teach U.S. history. We're studying right now about the beginning of the Industrial Revolution in the United States. We open a book and we look at what happened in the 1880s in the United States. And we see, well, we've got all these different events that are happening. We can see what happened in time because we can open a book. We can see what will happen later in time because we can open a different page of that book. God's view of time is very much like that. God opens a book and looks at a section of time, or he looks at another section of time. It's all the same to him. It's all the same book. It's not something that he's not aware of what's going to happen or what's been in the past. He knows all parts of time. He sees them all equally. He knows what's been and what's coming. That's an encouraging thing to us. He knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised by what will happen in the future. This is an amazing thing to think about. God is not surprised by anything that happens. There is nothing that has happened in history that God was not already aware of. Not because he was just made aware of it, but because God planned it. He planned it from the very beginning. He planned what was coming, what will come that we can't see. He plans the steps that you will walk tomorrow. He sees what's going to happen in the next 24 hours, in the next 2 years, in the next 2,000 years. We don't know. We don't have that ability. God does. God sees it all equally. And because God is not surprised, God does not act as though something has happened. Something has gone wrong. I have to respond. Many popular theologians today embrace a theory of open theism, that God doesn't understand exactly what's coming in the future, that he is unsure of what will happen in the future, and that he reacts to things in the future with, you know, desperation. But that's not the God that we worship. The God that we worship sees the end from the beginning. He knows what is going to happen in the future. He has known what is going to happen to you tomorrow from the very beginning of creation and before that. He knows all of time. He sees all of it equally. It's not something that he's surprised by. That is a blessing to know that God is taking care of us and that God will get us where we need to be, that he will lead us through times that we don't know, that we haven't seen yet, that we don't understand what they will be like or how we will make it through. God sees the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He is not surprised by what will happen to you tomorrow or even to this evening, the next year, or the next 10 years. He's not surprised. He knows. He's planned. That is an encouraging thought because he will take care of us in time. Finally, probably the best part, I think, of this, God chooses to act in time. God chooses to act in time. He sees all time equally. He is not bound to act in time. He is not bound by time. He does not exist in time. But yet he chooses at certain moments and certain times to do what he chooses to do. Because he is God, he can do what he wants. He created time. It belongs to him. It's his creation. And he chooses to act in time. Frequently, by making promises. We see this all through Scripture, where God gives a promise. And yet, the people who observe it, they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. Will God perform his word? Will he accomplish what he promised? Will he keep his promises? Does he keep his promises? Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." That phrase, "when the fullness of time had come," when did God promise that he would send a Redeemer? When did God promise that someone was coming one day to save the world? He spoke to Adam and Eve. At the very beginning, he spoke to Adam and Eve and he gave them a promise. And people waited and they waited and they waited. And when God said, "The time is right, at the best possible time, I will send my Son." And Jesus came to a world that was peaceful through Roman control. He came to a world that had a common language all throughout that would allow the spread of the gospel. It was the perfect moment in time, and God sent his Son at that moment to come and to die for us. God keeps his promises as he acts in time. And if God is willing to honor those practices or promises he made in the past, will he not honor the promises that he's made to us? Will he not also honor the things that he has promised to do for us? God will keep his promises because he has kept his promises already. We can trust him that he will keep his promises. And even more so, God will do what he chooses to do in the future. He is in control of what is coming. He is in control of what will happen. This last year has been a year of uncertainty for many people. It's been a difficult time. If you live in a country called Ukraine, it's been a very difficult time. God is in control of that future. And though it seems difficult and challenging to us, God knows the end. God knows what is coming. God knows what will happen. And he is not just knowing it, but he is doing it. He is acting it out. He is bringing it to pass. There is nothing that is unknown to God. Everything that happens to you, he has already seen, he has already planned, and he is working through it to bring you closer to him. He is working through it to bring himself glory. That's hard to understand, but God is doing this, and God is going to take care of us. He has promised to take care of us, and he will take care of us into the future. If you believe in Christ, the best future you can possibly imagine is in store for you. One day, God will bring you to be with himself, and you will live with him forever in heaven. This is a marvelous truth. God is eternal, that God is not like us, that God is not controlled by time. God will accomplish his purposes. How he does it, we may not understand, but he will accomplish his purposes. He sees all time equally. All time belongs to him. It is his creation. He acts in time. He chooses to act in time because, as we see in Isaiah 46, he will accomplish his purposes. That is a promise that he will achieve, that he will accomplish. What do we do for this? What do we do as a response? This is a God who is unlike us. It is our responsibility to honor him for his eternality, to worship him as God, and to thank him for the guidance and control that he has in our lives. Let's pray.